What's up, everyone? It is your boy Jerome Parker, aka Master Shake, and on today's episode of the Code Life Podcast, we are going to be talking about Apple, their new decision to scan everyone's phones, and why privacy is no more. Now, before we get started, I would like to remind everyone to please share this podcast episode. We're going to be talking about some really important things today, and it's imperative that as many people hear this as possible. So, for those of you who may have not been in the know, Apple has made a decision a few days ago that under the ideology of protecting children, they're going to scan all of your photos before they go to iCloud and all of your messages before they go on iMessage to determine if you have any child pornographic material on your phone. Now, the way that they're going to do this initially is that they have a content database of known pornographic images, and basically it'll scan the content hash and compare it against the content hashes of all the content that they have in this database. And children advocate groups are cheering this, you know, saying it is a right step in protecting our youth, protecting children's innocence, et cetera, et cetera. And while I do agree that it is a noble cause, we need to talk about what is really going on and why this is actually a nefarious move by the world's most richest company. So, Apple. I know them very well. I was a senior engineer there, and a lot of things that went on there I cannot speak about because I am under NDA, but I will let you know that it was definitely the worst place I ever worked. So there may be a little bit of bias in this episode, but you know, truth will still reign supreme. So here's my thing with this, okay? Here's my thing. Let's break this down. Vast majority of people who are doing illicit stuff like child pornography are not storing their images on their iCloud. They are not storing it on their phone at all. They are on the dark web. They are on torrent sites. They are doing all of the above. But they are not doing it on their iCloud. They're not. So you need to understand that. You need to understand that people who are doing this, like, the reason they're not getting caught is because they're not doing stupid shit like texting on the clear net or clear open network. Hey, look at this child porn I have. Like, that don't even make sense. That don't even make sense. Okay? Can we please cut the crap? That makes zero sense. All these people getting their iClouds hacked and celebrities getting pictures leaked and stuff. Why would somebody, if they're doing something as illegal as that, put their stuff on an iCloud and send it in a text message? In this day and age. These people put stuff on physical media. They still putting stuff on like DVDs and stuff. They're not doing anything on it. That's why they're not getting caught. Oh my God. Listen, Apple is just trying, it's setting the precedent, okay? This move in itself, because we're going to break down exactly what's going on with this initial initiative, but it's not the initial initiative. It's what they're setting the groundwork for, okay? So, the people who are, the small percentage of idiots who are doing it this way, you know, they'll either get caught or they'll probably just stop doing it since Apple, you know, already told everybody what they're doing. And what I feel is going to happen eventually, Apple's going to come out and say, okay, we think that we've gotten most of the people who are in these content databases, we're not getting enough people who are texting things who are already in the known database. So we're going to change the algorithm so that it can detect things in real time. We no longer need this content database. We're going to let the machine learning determine, is this child pornography, and alert it to, the authorities. And I believe somebody told me, I haven't double checked this, but because I had brought up, well, the first thing that I thought of was teenagers. Teenagers sext each other all the time. Teenagers are always sending each other nudes. And if two 15-year-olds are sexting, that's still considered child pornography because they're both underage, right? But, you know, who's going to get in trouble? If two teenagers, two sophomores in high school are sexting each other and they send back and forth nudes, is the boy going to get in trouble? Is the girl going to get in trouble? If they're same sex, are they both going to get in trouble? Like, or is nobody going to get in trouble because they're both the same age? That opens up so many possible loopholes that I think even if something gets reported, I think there's going to be so many loopholes available that who's going to get in trouble? Okay. Let's break it down even further. So apparently, you know, if children are caught sexting, it's supposed to alert the parents if they're on the on the family plan, I think. I need to double check that, so don't quote me, but this is just what I heard from somebody I just got done speaking to. Okay, that's cool. You know, that the idea of that is noble, and that's cool. I guess, you know, children shouldn't be sexting. You know, quote. I was definitely a teenager who was sexting. But you know, like this fact of, you know, will it call the police on a 15-year-old and call them a sex offender because, you know, he sent a dick pic to his girlfriend who was also 15. Like, I'm not that just bothers me, because then you start getting into the racial aspect, and we already know how that goes. Like, black children are already severely punished. That just brings down a whole slippery slope that I don't even have time to cover in this particular episode. But let's take the teenagers out of it. So let's say there are two sick perverts, or let's say there's a sick pervert who's texting a 13-year-old, right? Some sick 30-something pervert texting some 13-year-old and gets the 13-year-old to send a picture of themselves to them, okay? Now that's clear cut child pornography. Nobody's arguing against that. Okay. He's 30 something. This child is 13. You know, that's some Chris Hansen shit. But my thing is, how do you prove, like, let's say, you know, authorities get caught or whatever. And, you know, authorities get called to 30-something person's house, and they're like, oh, I that wasn't me. That my son was texting on my phone. Let's say he has a child in the home or whatever, right? So now how do you prove that it wasn't the child who was doing it versus the, like I was saying, there's so many loopholes. Like, I don't think people are going to end up getting convicted. Now, If they're trying to convict them off individual acts. Now, I understand, like, maybe if somebody's doing an investigation, you know, evidence is getting sent to, like, police, FBI, stuff like that. But I just see I see if somebody's, like, oh, this person got caught, you know, sending a picture, and Apple alerted. Like, people are going to be like, yo, subpoena, search and seizure. Like, I just see people just being sly and getting away with it, bro. And I don't think that's what Apple's main goal is. I think Apple's true goal is data mining for everything. I think they want to, I think that Apple in the long run is going to expand this photo scanning and text message feature to eventually do everything. So start off with child pornography, because who's going to say, I don't want to protect the kids? I want to protect the kids. Shit. Like, if this was a community-led, like, operation, and it wasn't led by Apple, I would trust it much more, you know? If this was, like, some open source, like, collective thing, you know, everybody's involved in it, yeah, I'm down for that, because that's community-driven. I don't trust it when it's corporate-driven. So we got, So we're starting off with you know, photo scanning for child pornography. What's going to stop them next being like, okay, we're going to do this for it's just going to turn into a pre-crime detection algorithm. That's going to be the guise of it, right? We're going to be able to prevent people robberies, prevent terrorist attacks, prevent murders, prevent, you know, based off scanning photos and messages, and then using different AI algorithms to make determinations. If any of you have seen the movie Minority Report, I was drawing a blank. If you have ever seen the movie Minority Report, this is pre-crime, you know? So what's going to stop? I mean, because we already have laws for conspiracy, right? If you get caught, you know, planning a crime, that's conspiracy. So what's going to stop Apple from doing that? What's going to stop them from making models? Nothing. Literally nothing. Let me answer the question now. So it starts off with child porn. Everybody's on board with that. Next thing they're going to say, terrorist attacks. Okay, everybody's on board with that. Next thing you know, like I said, it goes down the list of crimes. And once again, they are gathering everyone's data to try to prevent a select number of crimes, because not everybody's committing crime, right? But all that data that's going into these data oceans and data lakes and data warehouses, isn't that data is not just going to sit there. That data has, it literally, in order for the algorithm to work, everything has to be analyzed. Do you understand what I'm saying? If 100,000 people have their photos uploaded and scanned, and only one of those people have child porn, how could they know that one person had child porn if they did not scan the 100,000 and analyze the 100,000 as a whole? Do you get what I'm saying? That data, that those analyses are not going to go anywhere. There's nothing preventing them from mining on your text, mining data from your photos, such as EXIF data, and building profiles about who you are as an Apple customer. Apple doesn't made it so that you have to opt in to allow apps to track you outside of that app, right? And Facebook, Google, and everybody was all pissed about it because that affected advertisers, right? Now Apple is setting the groundwork to become the biggest advertiser. Let me break it down. But before I break that down, we're going to take a quick commercial, non-commercial sponsor break, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes you just want a gourmet meal. Sometimes you just want a home-cooked meal. You don't want fast food, and you don't want the same thing over and over. Sometimes you want to cook, but you have no idea what to make. And this is where my app and latest startup, Mobi Snacks, comes into play. Mobi Snacks is a mobile app that connects you with local chefs in your neighborhood, so you can get gourmet, local cooked meals. Anyone can sign up to be a delivery driver, and anyone who's eligible can sign up to be a chef. And what's more is that there is Mobi Snacks TV, a service with live stream and pre-recorded cooking shows made by content creators who also are chefs, just like you. If you want to get started, head over to mobisnacks.com and click the link on iOS or Android to take you to the respective app store. Once again, that is Mobi Snacks, M-O-B-I-S-N-A-C-K-S. enjoy this podcast, consider becoming a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/mastershake08. By becoming a patron, not only are you supporting the brand, but you're also funding the Code Life Initiative, which is a program where my company, Jake Pierce Solutions, teaches kids for free how to code in inner cities. We're trying to expand this program across the 50 states, and we are trying to do this self-funded so we can do it in the direction that we best see fit. So please consider becoming a patron. The levels start at $1. Patreon.com/MasterShake08.
Tired of doing technical interviews and rounds of them? Triple Byte is a platform that allows you to take one technical interview and have companies such as Apple, Microsoft, and Facebook bid on you for a job. Click on the link in the show notes to get started for free. It is always free, and offers will come to you in your mailbox. Click to get started.
All right, everyone, we are back. Now, let's talk about why this move is really the groundwork for them to become the biggest advertiser on the planet. Okay. All right, so they're mining all of your data. They're going to be creating profiles on you. Like, if you think that they're not, you are naive. If you believe them when they say they're not, you are naive, okay? Like, I'm not, this just, it is what it is. The best, people don't, look, corporations don't change their nature, all right? Apple's going to use this to create profiles on you. So, based off your pictures, you know, they're going to figure out the kind of places you like to frequent, your exif data. Like, they'll figure out what your favorite food is because you're putting up all your food pictures. They're going to figure out what kind of clothes your children like to wear because you got photos of your children on there. They'll figure out things like what your favorite color is. They'll figure out all sorts of things on you that we can sit here all day thinking of the data points that can come off of this analysis of your data, mining of your data. But they're going to in turn use that to sell you custom made products and services. And/or they're just going to become the new Google. They're going to sell all that data. Oh man, I didn't think about that. Oh wow. All right, so they told all these advertisers, pretty much they gave them the middle finger, like, we're gonna allow our users to allow you to track them. If you don't want them to track you, if they don't want you to track them, then, you know, oh well. And now that hurt ad revenue for everybody. So now I think, I could be wrong, this is my hypothesis, I think that they are going to take these data profiles and sell it back to the people who they just gave the middle finger to so that they can make, you know, better ads. This is what I opine, because over the last 10 years, Apple has been making a transition to be a service-driven company and not a product-driven company. So, wow. Yeah, I literally thought about that as I was speaking this. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. So anyway, So now that's one corporate aspect. Another corporate aspect is, you know, like I said, they're going to sell this data to law enforcement officials and agencies for the pre-crime part. And data is the new gold. I mean, they're already a $2 trillion company. If you honestly, in your heart of hearts, believe that a $2 trillion company gives an absolute fuck about these kids, then you are a true slave to capitalism and are brainwashed. They don't care. They do not care about these kids. There might be individuals inside of the company who might care, but Apple as an entity does not give a fuck. And if they did they would have gone about this a totally different way than doing it in a way that's going to result in the least amount of found material. The least amount. But we'll see. Time will tell. Time always does. But, you know, let's talk about the other point here. I'm a millennial, 1992 baby. And less than half, I think it's in the 40%, but it's still less than 50% of millennials have an iPhone. Okay. For Gen Z, that statistic is, I believe, 60-something percent. I know for a fact over half of Gen Zs have an iPhone. So, you know, outside of my point I was making about teenagers and sexting in the first part of the episode, these are the people who Apple, this is the demographic who Apple is going to be making the most money from over the next 10 to 15 years, as they, you know, they're starting to enter the workforce, finishing high school, college, et cetera, right? So you have to look at the long-term play for what Apple, if Apple is worth $2 trillion now, what do you think Apple's going to be worth when, by the time the last Gen Z is out into the workforce, right? Yeah, when the last Gen Z person, what would that be, in the 2030s? Yeah, in the 2036-ish, 35, 36, be the last Gen Z who graduated high school. So now everybody is in the workforce. How much is Apple going to be worth? I think at least $5 trillion. And when you think about that, think about that. Think about how much money $1 trillion is. They were already worth $2 trillion. $1 trillion is 1 million billions. 1 billion is 1 million millions. So that means $1 trillion is that's a lot of money. These motherfuckers got two of them already. So, fuck. These people are rivaling. This is rivaling nations. Nations. Not even rivaling. They're worth more than a lot of nations. Do you really want one entity that powerful that's not a government having that much knowledge on you? I'm interested to see how the OSINT community responds to what Apple's doing. Because if privacy is something that you value and we value as a community, as a tech community, this is something that we really need to be on. Because it's just not right. It's not right for one corporation to have that much control over that much population. Not even just America, around the world. Isn't China their biggest market? Like, how many people around the world have iPhones? One corporation is ruling them all. So, yes, child predation is a serious issue. Yes, the idea of what they want to achieve is noble, and I agree with the idea, but I am very adamantly, vehemently against the implementation. And if you care not just about your privacy, but the privacy of your children and the kind of world that they are going to grow up and live in, then you'll care too. This has been another episode of Code Life with Jerome Parker, aka Master Shake. Please, please, please don't forget to become a patron on the Patreon if you enjoyed this content and want to keep this brand going. I will talk to you all later.